session number 24838, Rule 2.
Mr. Deuce, Rule 2. We're talking about your time with Bates Platoon at the Royal Norfolk Regiment Depot at the Britannia Barracks, which you joined in January 1952.
Correct.
And we're going through sort of, you know, your early training. Mm-hmm. If we look at a typical day, that might give us an idea of the various bits of the training. So what time would your day start, you know, roughly?
Boogler used to get out of bed and call us up at 6 o'clock, the Boogler used to go. Boogler was known, I think it was Skipper, but that's... He used to rouse us out. Well, if you were awake, you used your head and got out, you know, purposely for ablution's sake. Otherwise, you might not get any hot water, or you'd be queuing in there for what seemed, you know, never ending. And then you get your look at the... Well, night before, you'd look at the program, see what your first thing was. We used to go down to the cookhouse over breakfast. After that, it was back to the barrack room. If it was a kit inspection by the training officer or the sergeant, but you used to have to lay your bed out. Unfortunately, I haven't got a photograph. I've been longing for one of them photographs. I know who's got one. I'll get me one taken off of his, I think.
But tell me, how would you prepare your kit and how would you lay it out on the bed?
Oh, blimey. Well, above your bed, you'd have all your webbing on a shelf with your best boots either side of it. Steel helmet on the top. Your great coat would be folded in dolly fashion, hanging on through the lapels, hanging on the behind the bed. Your bed pack would be made up with a blanket wrapped round it. Then you lay, I think it was your towels. What socks you'd got, if you hadn't got any in the laundry, folded up. Your housewife, your cleaning, your housewife, and your shaving, make sure your razor is clean. Otherwise, there's no good having two, because your locker doors are left open, so you can't hide them. And it was laid out in your boots, which you already got on, because your best boots are up on your shelf at the back of the head of the bed. Your towels, that was all laid out, button stick and all that, right down to the foot of the bed. And if it wasn't right, it just went and you had to pick it up.
They tipped it off.
That's right. That wasn't only you punished, the rest of them. So you put 100% in to make sure that, otherwise then you're the black sheep of the family, you are the one they pick on all the while.
But how would you do something like prepare your boots? You know, I mean, because, you know, the polishing of boots.
Yeah.
What were the tricks of the trade?
Well, when I first joined up, this is what you want to know, it was plenty of polish on the toe caps and a hot spoon, a handle of a spoon, you know, and just to burn the knuckles off the leather, and then plenty of spit and polish. If you were smoking, I found this out, if you were a smoker and you spit, you couldn't get the shine you wanted because there was grease from the, obviously I assume it's from the tobacco. So you used to have to use a tin of tap water, which is also greasy. So you still didn't So the only thing to do is don't smoke while you clean your boot. But then when I rejoined, the new trick was a soft, not a rough emery paper. You go that, mind the stitches though, you go across your toe caps and your heels and then use the back of a shoe brush, your polishing brush, and the job is virtually done.
That was quicker, was it?
Mm-hmm. But they don't tell you that when you first join up.
So what about webbing? Did you have to blanco it?
Yeah, that was, if next day's job. Because they usually call them up on a Thursday, and you'd got Friday, Saturday, Sunday to do all your chores in, as the saying is, your blankoing. It's, some of it had to be scrubbed because you'd get green and they wanted it buff. See, some of you were lucky, you got it buff, but that would be messed up, obviously, because that was, you wouldn't get, someone went at this demob this morning, you wouldn't get his gear. You'd get someone who got demobbed 12 months ago. But then it was hard work. That was the, you'd got a brass over all, scrub it, as I say, then that got to be dried before you could put blanco on. Then you'd got to blanco it, and if you put brass over on, your brass work, when you blanco it, and that goes on that, it's easier to come off. But if you didn't have brass on, you were scraping away, and then you scratch the brass. So there's a few tricks. And then once you've got it all done and dried, then it had to be set up above your head of your bed, with your valise at the bottom, your small pack, your pouches, and then your steel helmet on top of that.
Did you mind this sort of bull?
No. Discipline never hurt no one.
Now, after we were going through the morning, I know we keep going off, but so say after the kit, you'd have the kit inspection if you had it that day. What might happen next in a typical day?
On a typical day, if you've had your kit, if they give you a kit inspection first thing in the morning, like your next job might be doing some field training over on the top playing field, which runs beside the prison fence.
Now, what sort of field training did you do?
Well, it is, you go to the armory and draw a rifle up, and no ammunition, because it was field training, and you would go through mouse hole. And the sergeant will shout out, enemy to the left, enemy to the right. Then he sees your reaction of what you would do. I mean, there's nobody going to start going mad and running along trying to fire a rifle to kill somebody because, it was just after battle, you just put your pouches on, that's all, no small pack. And then
running about on the mouse
hold. Crawl around, as I say, on the top field. Then there used to be a hole in the fence where you could go down the bank into the rest of the mouse hole, which I think is obsolete now. I don't think anybody uses that ground. There is a brick, was a brick wall in there where you used to have to clamber over it and just playing toy soldiers. It's all good, It's so you think, oh, what the heck am I doing this for? We're never going to do this. If you're going to go to war, you're going to go to. But a surprise now.
Was there an assault course on the mouse hold?
Not as such, no.
What about foot drill? You'd have lots of drill.
Yeah.
How did you take to drill? I mean, your dad had been in the army, but how did you take to it?
I didn't mind it at all. No, I really didn't. It was, you used to have to go on there, the sergeant to take you and the corporal would get you on the square. It's a bit embarrassing where you've got a row of married quarters and the mum's taking the children to school and you stand there, 18 years old, shouting out 1, 2, 3, 1, and I mean, they think you can't count if they don't understand. So, well, you know, it's all good for you. I never could see anything wrong with it.
Did you know why you had to do so much of it? I mean, did you understand then?
Yeah, because if you didn't, it's for your own good and whoever's beside you.
In what way?
If you come into any problems, I mean, touch wood, I didn't have any of those problems, but if you look after number one and then number two if he needs it, if you get me. You see, it seems stupid standing there shouting out 1, 2, 3, 1, but that wasn't because we couldn't count, it's because that's what the RSM wanted.
Yeah, so there's drill. What about weapons training? The rifle. Tell us about your rifle training. Could you shoot anyway from the farm days? Or
no, I never fired a gun till we went on the ranges at Horsford. Is it Horsford? Yeah.
So how did they teach you to fire the rifle?
Well,
you still with the Lee Enfield, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the Lee Enfield 303. Yeah. Weighs about £9, I think.
How did they teach you?
Well, you used to get half a dozen of you up on the top playing field, if weather permitting, and you used to, you say down, right, you just dropped here, and you'd say aim and fire at an obstacle. Object then further ahead of you, and then you changed over, and that's how it carried on. Then it got down to before you can do any of that, you've got to know how these things work. I mean, you've got nothing, only a magazine, a bullet sticking in the magazine if you can't get one up in the breech, so you've got to learn all that, how to load the magazine properly. If you get one or think you've got it in properly and you shut your bolt and nothing, there's nothing up there, it's pointless. You might as well have an empty mag, which you could have. LMG is a bit more complicated.
Well, come to the LMG. Were you a good shot when you got on the horse for the ranges? I mean, did it take
average. I wasn't a marksman. No. But if I see it, I could hit the target. But whether I'd killed it or whether wounded, I don't know.
And what about cleaning it? Were you taught to clean it?
Yes. Yeah. Everything had to be, well, on a rifle you've only got two things to take off. That's your bolt out and your magazine off, really. And the pull through in the butt of the rifle, and you pulled it through with a smear of oil and hoping it passes the training officer's eye. If it didn't, you go back and do it again.
Now, the light machine gun, was that the Bren still?
Yeah.
Now tell me about your Bren training.
Well, that was more complicated because there's more to take off of a Bren gun than there is a rifle. I think my memory serves me right, it's the last off is first on. So I think, which is the tripod? That is a tripod, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Bipod? Tripod? I don't know. But
whichever.
Yeah. That comes off last, so consequently that goes on first. Then you barrel on and you shut it up. I think I've got it all right, I don't know. But you've got a gas chamber on a Bren gun, which you haven't on a rifle. That sometimes they'll alter it for you to alter it when he shouts out what is wrong. Then you alter that accordingly if the Bren gun isn't firing properly.
What was it like to fire?
Quite easy. I didn't mind the Bren gun. how you get that up there, and you can get off more rounds with that than you can, obviously, because that's an automatic. But that was.
Was it accurate?
Fairly accurate, I thought. But there again, if you don't hold it in your shoulder properly, you're going to hit nothing, are you?
What about the stem gun?
Yeah, that was another one. That, I don't know. Yeah, that was all right. We used to fire that down in. That was when we done a continuation training down in Fingerino, near Colchester. That's where we used to do a continuation training.
So you didn't have that. You didn't have that.
Not so much. No, no.
What did you think of the stem?
It was. Well, it was small, obviously, and once you'd got the magazine off, it wasn't. You could carry it quite easy. It was, you know, light, and you know, as I say, you can carry it around wherever, and all you've got to do is knock the magazine on, and away you go with 28 rounds in no time.
Were you aware of the dangers of the stem, that it would go off if you dropped it?
Oh, yeah.
They taught you that, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. But you shouldn't drop any rifle because you alter your sight straight away. Or any weapon. Once you've dropped them, that's an armourer's job, really. You know, because you shift that sight an eighth of it, well, very small. Your alignment is completely out.
Now, the stem, it wasn't accurate, though, was it?
Not really, no. I didn't think so. You had got aim either above what you were shooting at. Now, I got on all right with that. I touch wood, I only wear glasses for reading. But when we was fingering, that wasn't a course. It was just, you know, warfare.
I'll come back to finger. Now, what about other weapons? Hand grenades? The Mills one?
Yeah, that we used to have just the training ones up here, you know, to show you how to pull the pin, how to detonate it, screw the bottom up, and pull the pin and throw it. But nothing happened because you didn't have to detonate it because it was for drill purposes only. But you're going back to fingering now when we get there. That is when we done live hand grenade throwing down there.
What other weapons were you introduced to up there? A mouse hold?
I think that was about it, really.
3-inch or 2-inch mortar?
No, not up here.
Now, what are the.
In actual fact, I don't think we done any mortar training until we got to Hong Kong. I'm sure we didn't. I may be wrong on that one, but I can't ever remember carting any on it or firing any up here or at Colchester.
What about PT or physical training, route marches, running?
Oh, yeah.
PT?
Yeah. Used to do PT, I think it was virtually nearly enough. Once a day, either AM or PM.
And what was it like? What sort of stuff were you doing?
Well, wall bars, the benches in the gym, your normal, PT classes like you've only done at school, in a sense, you know. But you used to have a pair of plimsolls, but sometimes I'd say keep your boots on, roll your socks down above it, and I can assure you, at 18 years old, we looked some right sketches. But it was then route marches.
Where would you go?
They were, well, we used to come out of the gate, can't think of the name, Valley Drive gate, the back gate from the gym. Up and over the heath where you come in your taxi, up that hill, along here, to the roundabout, and then go along there, down what they call Blue Boar Lane, and down Salhouse Road, which is two lights up, and then back the same way.
How far? 5 miles?
5 to 7 miles. We didn't do it. Well, that you used to have to do that before you passed out, you know.
What about cross-country runs?
Yeah, we used to do, the PTI used to take us on them across, over the heath mainly.
That
wasn't too bad. It kept you on your toe. Mind you, a lot of us were exhausted halfway round, but because we weren't that fit. Not in 6 weeks, they're not going to keep you that fit either. If you've done nothing like that before, you know what I mean, you're like a sack of potatoes, really. You think you can do it until you get halfway round, and then that's it.
Did you get, I mean, were you fit? You weren't fit when you got it, because you'd worked on the farm before, would that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was A1. You know, fitness, that, I mean, I never used to do, no, as I say, I never hardly played any sport or anything like that. Like, we used to go for cycle rides, but that was never going to keep you as fit enough for what they wanted you to do.
Any other training while you were at Britannia?
No, not really, I don't think.
What did you think of the instructors, you know, your NCOs? How did they treat you? What did you think of them?
We had two brothers, a sergeant and a Corporal Howard. They were good, you know, they were very, very fair, I thought, them two. Because, as I say, when I came back in the army, you could see who was and what was going on, you know, that was all in here, then you knew what they were going to get put through. But yeah, they were very fair. I would give them 10 out of 10 for that. Yeah,
did they know the stuff?
Yes, yes. Sergeant Howard, he had been in the, I think he was already wearing the 3 medals, you know, what they got in the Second World War. He'd already got those. I mean, he knew what he was talking about.
What about, what would you do in the evening if you had any time? You'd polish your kit.
Otherwise, if it wasn't up to scratch in the morning, as I have said before, it's going to be not you, the whole platoon is going to go through it. You know, and it's not fair. All right, you always had one awkward that wanted to do the naffy instead of his kit, and then we all suffered, but he only done it, say, once, because no one's going to sit back and let someone run your life. You used to do, if you all rode in together and got your, see, there's the floor had to be done every night. So that's all right when the sergeant come in at 6:30 in the morning to make sure you was all out of bed. If that wasn't, then you used to have a barrack room inspection every morning. So, I mean, if that wasn't up to scratch, then you'd got to do it at night. And while you're doing that, you're not getting your kit done. That's what I said earlier on. You were sitting there at 10 o'clock when you want to be getting a little bit of shut-eyes to be awake in the morning.
What about the canteen? Would you ever get to the canteen? What did it offer if you went there? What was it like?
Well, it was just that you'd go and get, a cup of tea and a cake. If you smoked, you could sit there and, you know, have a noddle. You can buy your dusters, your polish, your boot polish, your brasso, and all that type of stuff in there. And you sit there having a talk, and then
would you have a pint? Was it a wet canteen or
brown bottles of beer? But I don't think we were allowed it, because you weren't allowed out down the back, down the street, as I say, and down the hill.
So you wouldn't get into Norwich.
No, we. But we've been in there 3 weeks, I think it was 3 weeks, before the regulars, those that was a regular, might have got a 48-hour pass after you've been there 3 weeks. Then a month, we all got a pass. And then when we'd done a 6 weeks training, we'd done the passing out parade, and then we all got a week. You know, that was a week's annual leave, a week's leave. And
now, what would you do when you went down into Norwich? You know, when you did get a pass?
Well, I've never been to Norwich before, so I, you know, had got to find my way around. Main thing is to get back up that hill again.
Would you go to a pub, or would you just, or the cinema?
Well,
or?
I didn't used to drink them days.
So what would you do? Just wander about?
Just wander around. Well, I think the bloke went that one Saturday. We did go to the Haymarket Cinema. That's shut down now. Been shut for years. But we went there one Saturday afternoon. Well, then we never had that coins in a pocket to go in and buy anything to eat, so we got back to camp and went in the cookhouse and we was giving it for nothing.
And what about the passing out parade? What do you remember of that? Was it anything special or?
Well, it gave you that feeling that I've just done 6 weeks hard work. Get this parade out the way, then it's home for a week. If you know, it's something you've worked hard for 6 weeks. And that's too far back to find out who the inspecting officer was.
But it went all right.
Oh, yeah. Sigh of relief from all of us, I think, when we got off. But,